What's up, y'all? It's your boy B Barnes. I appreciate y'all rocking with us. IG Live went well. We plan on doing it again. It went so well this time that the conversation went really long. So I chose to break it up into two episodes. So we got the first part talking about Kanye. We talking about is Riley overrated. A couple more things. And now we're going to dive into, in this part two episode, talking about concussions and violent sports things, you know, sports that kind of lead to head trauma. Me and Massetti kind of dive briefly into our athletic history. And yeah, man, we're gonna keep rocking, man. So I appreciate y'all sticking with us, and I'll see y'all next time.
That's what we had on this next topic, yo. Whoever want to join in, man, y'all can join in. Hey, T, what's
specifically
happening?
Former athletes.
Hop, what up?
Y'all got a better perspective because you actually played.
I see. I think Fred on too. Fred on. Yo, what's happening?
What's good, Fred?
Fred, what's up, boy?
So look, this is our next topic, yo. As a parent, you know, as someone that I'm actually expecting as well. So as a parent and kids, how do you feel about kids playing violent sports? Violent boxing, MMC, football. Hockey, you know, all of those sports that's deemed as violent, that could be detrimental to someone's
brain health.
And health physical, as they continue to get older. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Man, so I grew up just like y'all in the same era, old school, man, and, you know, never even gave it a thought. I've been playing football since 6 years old, little league, all the way up through high school.
Right.
Even into adulthood, never gave it a thought, man. Just coming into parenthood, you know, recently, man, mm-hmm. you know, and then having, you know, now, like Barnes said earlier, we have the information in front of us, man. So it's kind of like, you know, you can kind of, with the information, you can make a better decision.
Yeah.
Me, I know the factors and I know there's danger or whatever, but you know what I mean? There's dangers out there, whatever you do, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If my child were to choose to play a sport, I would support that.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah.
I think go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, you can get hurt riding a bike or,
yep.
you know what I mean? And I know these sports are deemed violent for a reason, mm-hmm. but you know, to me, you know what I mean? I'm just, hey, you know, you want to do it, you got my support.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. You said one thing you said, you know, we was playing sports since we was younger, jumping off houses, jumping off
building bike ramps.
Yeah, building bike ramps, you know. We probably had concussions as a kid somewhere down the line, but I think what you said was you know, imperative was that you actually we now have the information in front of us.
Absolutely.
And what I do like, as much as we complain about the sport of football and the professional and the calls that they're getting, what they're doing now, they're actually protecting the athletes. You know,
yeah.
as much as we may be a fan of a player, or maybe a fan of a team, you know, they're really protecting the athletes. The way you hit, how you hit, they're protecting the quarterbacks. Right. There's no more defenseless mm-hmm. receivers catching a right. slant ball. You know, that whiplash effect,
yeah.
you know, horse collaring.
Horse collaring.
Yeah.
You know. Boy, you can't even breathe on a quarterback in the NFL now, but they call it roughing the passer.
That roughing the passer.
They go, flag.
That roughing the pass on Tom Brady last week was crazy.
That was crazy, bro. And I'm with Stephen A. Stephen A. said, "Man, just put a flag on the quarterback."
At this point,
it's like, bro, he just put a green jersey on him, like they did it, like they're doing the practice.
Yeah.
He's untouchable now.
Right.
Because at this point.
Hey, Fred.
Go ahead, bro.
Fred, we can't touch a boy.
Yeah. We can't touch him. We can't touch
Fred,
him, man.
We can't touch a boy, Fred.
Hey, Dancy, what's happening, bro? Thank y'all, everybody that joined in, man. Thank y'all for that.
For sure, man.
But yeah, man, just you know, for me as a parent, uh-huh. and coming into, you know, parenthood, I want to see my, you know, little shorty, you know,
kind of do some
of the things that I'm not going to force it. I don't want to force it, but I don't want to take away the idea. Hey, you can't play this sport because I'm scared of your. And yes, I want to protect you. Yeah. I want to protect you. But if you see something that you're interested in, I don't want to tell you no.
I think it's legit arguments on both sides.
Yes.
And this is coming from somebody who who played in college, who I know for a fact I have multiple concussions.
Yeah.
Hindsight. Because the let's go back. Let's take it back a few steps. The culture of specifically football.
Yeah.
I can't speak for boxing. I can't speak for, you know, martial arts, mixed martial arts, mm-hmm. any of that stuff. Rugby. I can't speak for that either. I only know football.
Right.
When you play football, even in middle school and high school, mm-hmm. there's somebody on your team that's had a concussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, how can I best phrase it? The culture around the sport is definitely changed since we stopped playing.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's a fact.
Yeah.
But I think the culture, the foundation is still there.
Yeah.
And that's what perpetuates guys choosing to put themselves in harm's way for the sake of the team, or for the sake of playing time, or for the sake of, you know, glory being glorified.
I'm gonna hit you.
Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. Based upon what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm gonna hit you.
It's like, no, are you good? Or what's your, how many fingers I'm holding up? Are you good?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the culture that I come from. And that's where we come from. It's like, all right, if I can see how many fingers you're holding up,
you good.
Your ass going back in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's the culture that's been the foundation of the culture around the sport,
right,
in terms of players and coaches and the people in power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we all know money is a significant part of it when it comes to the NCAA and the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So going back to what sparked this whole conversation was recently, Tua Tagovailoa, the Miami Dolphins quarterback,
yep,
had a concussion.
They put him back out there.
4 days later, they had another game.
Mm-hmm.
Had another concussion.
Yep.
Regardless of what they said, anybody with two eyes knows
he had a concussion.
This nigga had a concussion,
yes,
both
sir.
Times.
Yes,
he should have been out there 4 days later.
Yes, sir.
Regardless of whatever protocol.
Shelly, what's happening, mama?
What's good? What's good? So to me, the culture that I'm talking about allowed for this to happen,
yes,
regardless of whatever protocol they're quote unquote reviewing, or, you know, whoever gets fired, you know what I'm saying? We're going to fire the doc, the doc. It's like, bro, at the end of the day, the people that are in power are the head coach, the GM, and the owner.
Yes.
Right. They are the people who make the decisions. You, yes, hire these medical professionals to get their medical opinion.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
if you tell that doctor,
if I'm the guy in power, and just to give y'all context, if you don't understand the context of this particular player, he's a first round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Whole lot of hype coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
Lefty quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Been hurt since he's been in the league.
Yep.
This is the first time he's been healthy.
So right? They're trying to get that return.
They're trying to get that return on their investment.
Absolutely.
That's when in terms of talking about the financial aspect of it, that's where the money comes into play.
Yeah.
Like, yo, we gave this man is a first round draft pick. We have put a lot of chips in this basket.
And we need to collect. We need to collect.
You know what I'm saying? And until, regardless of how much information we have, until the thought process behind putting the player safety first, not the performative act of throwing a flag when somebody roughs the passer,
yeah,
or
yeah,
when somebody has a blindside block, or when somebody, I'm talking about long term foundational. We ain't gonna see that for the next 15, 20 years at least. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm the GM and I gotta collect on this investment, this is a business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this to make money. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying this is the fact of the matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How do y'all, that's where I'm at with it.
Right.
It's like, it's until we change that foundational, the culture of what it is now and what it's been, regardless of whatever protocol, whatever doctor you hire, the foundational culture lets this stuff happen.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, the nature of football is very violent, right? So every other place, somebody's probably getting a light concussion. I'm just going to be – and until a lot of people come to grips with that, then it's like when you see something like Tagovailoa happens, obviously it gets a lot of national and media attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this is a horrible game. It's like, bro, this is one example. Yeah. But niggas get concussions every day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're not okay with the sport, then just say that, right? Just say that. But you can't be all up in arms from this one guy when – these supremely talented, big, gigantic athletes who run 275-pound guy, 300-pound guy, running 4.5s. You know what I'm saying? Bitching God knows what, squatting God knows what. These are ridiculously talented athletes, bro. You know what I'm saying?
So that takes it to take it back. Are you going to let your kids play football?
All that to say. Bro, get to the point. Nigga, get to the point. I feel like I had to say that, because okay. That's where I'm at with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's so much bigger than just like, ooh, this guy got it. It's like, no, it's a foundational aspect to it. Now that I've said all that, I'm on the fence.
Okay.
I'm on the fence. Because on one hand, you know, obviously I did what I did as a player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To a certain level at some point. And it's cool to think about the possibility.
Right.
Now if you're looking at who do I got three boys. One is Miles is about to be a year.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley is 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon is 6. Right. Now sometimes you can just tell. Okay, coordination, motor. You know, gross. What they call gross motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just naturally, just like he liked contact. Wesley is the natural one.
Yeah.
That's who I was. I was just fast. Yeah, I could jump. You know what I'm saying? That was me. Now, all my brothers, we were all athletes.
Right.
We were all coordinated. We all played at a certain level in high school. We all played varsity at some point on basketball, football. You know what I'm saying? So, like, but naturally, Wesley's probably, he's ahead of his age group.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Brandon, he takes instruction very well.
Right.
So, I could see both of them.
Playing.
Possibly. You know what I'm saying?
But might be the quarterback. Brandon might be the.
Yeah.
No, Wesley might
Wesley
be.
Going to be a linebacker. Wesley gonna be a linebacker. He cracking heads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brandon, I mean, he might be a pretty boy, cornerback or something, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But all that to say, I'm on the fence. I'm really, it's a legit. I believe there's a legit argument on both sides. And at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for what you think for your kid and your family.
I'm definitely now that I, like I said, you know, now that I'm about to be a parent, man.
Yeah.
I see the hesitation, you know, from Mariah and why. I know for a fact I probably had a concussion in high school.
I know for a fact I had a couple in college. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely had some in high school for sure. I remember seeing stars a couple times.
Yes. Hey,
look, what'd you do?
Pork chop hit me so hard one day.
Brandon, you good? You good, Brandon?
I almost gave up, man.
You almost quit?
Yeah, I almost quit. I was a freshman too. But I know for a fact that, but I learned how to, that showed me quickly how to protect myself. I learned that. It's not something that, you know, that the, you know, coaches showed me or talked to me about. So I learned how to, you know, protect myself. Not saying that I was scared to go through a hole or hit somebody.
Yeah.
I wanted to do the hitting before somebody hit me.
I'm going to get you before you get me.
So I learned that after that first hit.
I'm going to get the getting before I get got.
Absolutely. So, but, you know, as a kid, you know, and I didn't play regularly. I don't know if you ever knew that.
Me neither.
I didn't play until I was a freshman in high school.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
We didn't play until middle school. I didn't play until middle school, to seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
The story of how I just started playing football was we did everything Gerard did.
Yeah.
So Gerard was like, Gerard is the Wesley
of
the group. Gerard is like very headstrong. He going to do what he going to do. Hey, Mom, I'm going to try for football. All right, so okay. David was a little bit different. He was a little bit more passive. But Gerard is like, you know what I'm saying? He going to go after it. You know what I'm saying? And me and Andrew just naturally followed whatever Gerard did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we did. So Gerard went out his seventh grade year. I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. Now, you know, Bun, Frank, we couldn't play in sixth grade. So I was like, all right, wait till next year. Bet, I'm going to play. Go out to seventh grade tryouts. Turns out I'm pretty fast. Pretty fast. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny because all the guys who play rec league, they think they coming in. Like, yeah, I've been around. I'm the guy.
Right.
I'm the guy. And me, I was a guy who I just came in. I was very nonchalant. I ain't know nothing about football, bro.
Right.
I was just a natural athlete. You know what I'm saying? So I got the ball. Literally, you can ask. So you remember Justin Perry? I don't know if you remember Justin Perry.
Yeah.
He was
a quarterback.
He was running back.
Oh,
he was running back. And when I got the ball and I scored, everybody thought even my dad, bro, even my pops, everybody thought it was Justin who scored, bro. Cause nobody knew who nobody really knew me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like the first time I ever played sports, in, you know what I'm saying, in the area like that. I was like, okay, maybe I should actually give this a real shot.
Yeah.
And then you know, fast forward, I recruit whatever, you know, it turned into whatever it turned into.
Right.
But yeah, man, I think I'm still on the fence. I'm still on the fence. All that to say.
Let me ask you this, Barnes.
Yeah.
And it's different, you know, at different levels. You play a running back, so you definitely got the contact. You know, you had to give it and you had to take it.
Right.
You know what I mean, where you were, and being exceptionally fast, were you one of those guys that try to run away from the contact? Well, I'm going to hit you, you know,
so
when you get me. And then
I was the guy who would naturally run away from the contact. And I think I could do that at the time because I was, most people on the field, I was just faster than.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you look at, you look at some of the stuff I did in high school, I didn't really take a lot of contact.
Yeah, yeah,
the, the type of plays that we run, I was either running past somebody or I was running.
They'll tackle you as you're going by.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really, in the type of, the how they inserted me into that particular, we ran wing T, old school wing T offense.
Yep, yep.
Weren't a lot of passing, but when we were passing, the one route that I did run, I was usually running past somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But most of the time, the guys who took most of the contact in our offense were the fullbacks.
Yeah.
Because you, the fullback is diving every time to do that fake. Where we doing the guard trap or, you know what I'm saying, they just doing the fake so they can give it to the guy on the wing, which was, I was the guy in the back or the wing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who was usually, you know, running. It was a fake over here and I'm going over here. That's usually, that's how the offense worked in the wing T. But so I was the guy who would, naturally, I didn't really like contact like that, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying?
I wasn't fast like you.
Yeah.
I had to make do. I'm gonna make it as a wide receiver. I'm gonna make a catch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a possession receiver.
Yeah.
That's just really what I was.
You were that. Yeah.
I was a possession receiver.
Yeah.
Went a few, like you just said, a few times that we, you know, did pass. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to make it count. On defense.
Oh, you was head busting.
Yes, I used to love, especially my senior year when they moved me to safety, moved you and Chris to, you know, corners.
See, I was a safety. I was a safety. And
you was naturally a safety.
I'm naturally a safety. I wish I would have played safety in college, but I didn't really like playing corner because I knew I was a natural safety.
Yeah.
Because when you left, I was like, oh, I'm good now. I got the, I can see the whole field, boom, boom, boom. But yeah.
So when they moved me to safety, moved you and Chris to
corner.
I used to just love just.
You would come downhill,
downhill, just like. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I gave and I'm not factual, but the way I used to hit, I'm sure I could have gave a couple concussions.
Yeah.
I looked at my tape the other day. I still got my highlights.
Hey man, hey, you got to reminisce.
I still got my highlights.
You have to reminisce.
So I was looking at it the other day, man, and I it was a couple hits, and I was like.
Oh, I got him right
there. Yeah, I intentionally tried to hit him like with some umph.
Yeah,
and I used to love blindside hits. You know,
I was never that type of tip. Now my senior year, I did have a couple of them.
Oh
man, they probably get flagged today.
Yeah, they will.
But back when we was playing,
crack.
It was head
because it was one play when I was looking at, and I might have to show it to you. It was one play I was looking at. I think you actually came. You was running the ball. No, it was Chris. Was running. And I came from the opposite side wide receiver, and he had a defender, so I just hit him from the blind side.
Yeah.
I was like, yo. if my son gets hit like that, man.
It's a hard – you said it would be hard to watch.
It's hard to watch that, yo.
So what did it say about your parents, man? I'm just playing.
I know my dad.
I'm just playing.
My dad loved it.
He
loved it.
He an old school cat.
Yeah,
I know he loved
it. He loved it. So
my parents didn't care about me.
Pops, he would always say, man, look, stop trying to get extra yards. When you run that slant, get down.
Yeah.
Like, man, what are you talking about? I'm trying to get these yards. He's like, no, son, you ain't fast.
See, look. Hey, at least he was honest.
Nah, son, you ain't fast.
That goes to the fathers out there right now who you plan on being the father or you got kids right now. Look,
be honest. Real.
Be real with your kids, man. Don't.
Be honest with your kids.
Yeah, man, look. Yeah. Let them know their strengths and their weaknesses. You know what I'm saying? So they can work through that.
Yeah, facts.
They can properly work through
facts.
Whatever hill they got to go, over. You know what I'm saying?
So sounds like, you know, you and I both, we didn't get your opinion, Q. Hey, Breezy, what's happening? What would you do? No, you said you did say that. You said you would support.
Yes,
you said you would support.
Yeah, right.
Moving on to you know, college. You know, knowing having the information that we have now, transitioning to, how do you feel about the NIL deals that these kids are getting?
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I grew up with you, Barnes. I grew up with you, and I wasn't a, you know, as you were playing, you know, at a prestige university, but I think it's an opportunity, man, because you got to look at a lot of these kids, are sacrificing a lot, and their whole mindset is to get to the pro level, man, right, and feed their family. You know what I mean? You know, I think this gives them an opportunity at least to kind of, you know, level the playing field out, mm-hmm, as far as not maybe compromising themselves while they're in school. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, I don't think I've ever said this publicly or like to a lot of people, but like I played at Division I university or whatever. A lot of guys, like you said, like you just said, they're in it for that very reason, you know, trying to take care of the family. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I was in it for every selfish reason you can possibly think.
Like what?
Just, I wasn't in it for like, oh, I'm going to take care of my family. That thought never crossed my mind, bro. I was just there because it was fun. And it was a great opportunity.
You know what? This might open the gate for something else. But I'm gonna let you continue.
I'm being completely
No, go.
100% transparent.
Like you said, you never had this conversation before.
I don't think I ever have.
And so I'm gonna piggyback off a conversation you and I had before. But yeah, I want you to continue back on that. What was some of the selfish reason that you played?
All right. Just to give you context, so I grew up with three brothers, yep, right? So this was fine. We all did the same stuff growing up. Mm-hmm. Whether it was music, we grew up in the church. Everybody sang or played something.
You walk to church.
Yeah, you know, right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We were always in church. Yeah, right? Yeah. It was either church sports. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And we all played the same sports. Right. Right. So finally, when football started to take off in terms of recruiting from all these schools across the country, mm-hmm, I was like, oh, I finally got something for myself.
Yeah.
I'm taking this all the way to the bank, and I'm being very selfish. Now, I wasn't thinking that, consciously thinking that when I was in that position, but hindsight, looking back, I'm like, yo, I could see how I was moving at that point in time. Nothing like malicious or anything.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But just from
you a... You were just looking out for you.
Just from a selfish standpoint, right, it's like, yo, we shared clothes growing up. We shared everything growing up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I finally had something of my own. You know what I'm saying? Now, I've had these conversations with my brothers before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, personal. But, like, I've never said it out like this.
I personally don't think that's selfish, bro, at all.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah. I mean, with it, from your perspective, I don't. I just think that was your time to say, hey, this is something that's in my own niche.
Yeah.
I'm just taking full advantage of it. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And I think what I was saying is, you know, going back into another conversation you and I had, uh-huh, you know, you said you fell out of love with football. Do you feel like that was a determining factor?
Well, I don't think it was a falling out of love. I think it was a realization that it wasn't a passion of mine.
That's the same thing, right?
No.
Break it down for me.
So falling out of love is like going like wholeheartedly putting your whole heart and soul into something, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is I'm so passionate about this particular thing.
Okay.
Regardless if you're good at it or not.
Right.
I'm passionate about it. Hindsight looking back, I don't think I was passionate. I don't believe I was passionate. I think I started to believe the hype that people were telling me, yo, you can do this, you can do that, you can play here, you can play that. Okay, yeah, bet, I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Right.
Because who wouldn't turn down full scholarships to Division I institutions?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So when did that hit you? When you, like...
After I stopped playing. After my senior year, when my boy Sterling Lucas, he's a coach at University of South Carolina now. Mm-hmm. He's been around the block. He dope individual. Played linebacker at State with me as well. Came gotcha. In the same year.
Did he hit you?
He hit me up.
No, did he hit you?
Oh, he was. Yeah,
did he hit you? He played linebacker. You had running back. Did he hit you?
I mean, he was a linebacker and I was a running back. So at some point,
he's not answering the question, Q.
are you saying, do I remember a specific moment where he rang my bell? No, I don't remember that specifically.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You don't forget those.
Yeah, yeah. He
that's
hit,
what, I, that's
he
what
hit
I'm saying.
You. Just saying he hit you.
If he did, I had a concussion. I don't remember, nigga. No, Star was a hitter. He was, you know what I'm saying?
All right, go ahead.
All that said, what I'm saying was my senior year, he was a graduate assistant.
Right.
Because I was a fifth year senior. He didn't register. My fifth year, he was a GA.
Yeah.
And he was calling all the guys that, yo, are you coming to pro day? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? He called me up. Yeah, bro, B Barnes, you coming to pro day? Bro, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said, nah, I'm good, bro. I think I'm good. I got a first cousin. Shout out to Nasir. Every day, bro, I can get you a try with the Giants. I could do, bro, I'm good. I don't want to do this. I don't want to play the Canadian League. I'm done, bro.
That's tough.
I'm done. And a lot of guys.
Bro, you never told me about the pro day situation.
It wasn't really a situation.
I mean, conversation. I say conversation.
That's literally how long it was, bro. I'm good. I'm done.
That's crazy.
Up until that point, I was kind of like, yo, should I go train? Go ahead, Q.
So can I, let me ask you this question, now, Barnes. Now that you said that, you know, you said I'm done. Now, older, do you say, what if?
I mean, could I have trained and you know, made a practice squad somewhere, possibly got an opportunity? Most likely, I mean, I think so. I think I was good enough.
Yeah.
And I think part of not having, so my career in college didn't turn out to what I wanted it to be.
Right.
Right.
So I got hurt behind it.
So I come in, I was a highly touted recruit. I could have played in a lot of schools. I chose to stay close to home at NC State, right?
Yeah.
I go to NC State. I come in. I was the only recruiting class, running back in my recruiting class.
Yeah.
I come in. There's a lot. It's a big depth chart. A lot of guys who've been there. So I redshirted my first year. I ended up redshirting my first year.
Yeah.
They were thinking about playing me. I think it was against Clemson, my true freshman year. And then it was like, nah, we just going to redshirt them. Let them stay behind these guys and let these guys get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to my second year, which was my redshirt freshman year, my sophomore.
Yeah. Sophomore in the classroom.
Freshman on the field.
Yeah.
That year, it was buried in Detroit, and I feel like I just didn't really take it seriously. Now, fast forward a year later, that's when all the guys all the old heads were gone. So it was me, my boy James. We were like really, at that point in time, we were the top two guys, me and James Washington.
Yeah.
And that was the year where it was a question mark, like kind of like we had what we are this year, if y'all NC State fans, where the old heads have left. Now we're trying to figure out who's going to replace this production. That was the year. That's the year I got hurt in spring practice. Fractured my fibula, broke my ankle. And you rehab, you come back, and you play sparingly. I played a little bit my last year. But mentally, looking back, I was not the same player.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What do you think you could have done differently?
Now, there's a billion things you could do differently in terms of if you're trying to be successful in a certain way. But looking back, I don't think I took it seriously because it wasn't a passion of mine. And it goes back to that.
Take it serious as far as what, training,
studying,
things like that?
Well, studying, to me, school is secondary.
No, studying the game, studying playbooks.
Oh, I knew the game. I knew the game.
But you still had to study.
No, you're right. Yeah. I agree. I don't think I took it that serious. And this is when I knew I was different. when you lose a game, it's a spectrum of how people respond to losses.
Right.
Niggas' whole days is messed up.
That's mine.
I'm like, bro, let me get my per diem. I'm trying to get this Bojangles. I'm good. Like, that was my mindset.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, I'm different. That means I probably don't. I'm here
you
because
got a free education out of it.
Exactly. And that's when I was like, oh, I'm not. This is not a passion of mine. You know what I'm saying? Because dudes, I could see how it would affect other guys. I'm like, yo, I can't relate, bro. And I wasn't really mad. I wasn't mad.
Okay.
You know, give me my per diem. Go get some dinner. Well, go chill at the crib. That was me. You know what I'm saying? So that's me.
I got you.
Yeah.
At my college career, and I'm gonna answer this question right here. It just popped up. I think my college career went completely different, you know, for various reasons. I think I did take it serious. You know, even though I went to North Carolina Wesleyan, you know, they're a D3 school, you know, football got me, that created an opportunity.
Yeah.
So I knew the chances of it going after college was slim to impossible.
Yeah.
I knew that going in.
Yeah.
I was there for something bigger than football, but football was the gateway.
It was
the gateway.
Gotcha.
When I came in, I did take it serious. I think I just, like I said, I didn't play college. I didn't play high school ball until my freshman year.
That's crazy. I really didn't know that.
I never touched the field. I didn't even know how to put on shoulder pads until that first day of practice.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say, you know, when I got to college, I think that passion was blindsided by not knowing the game, in the in-depth of the game. Mm-hmm. So I had a learning curve of going from a wing T offense. And I've said this before, going from a wing T offense to a pro offense.
Oh, we did. I had the same learning curve in college.
So I think that kind of deterred my focus. It's like, yo, I'm so far behind that I have the athleticism. I have the talent,
right.
But I don't have the knowledge. So I studied. By the time I'm actually caught up,
my freshman year is halfway over, and I'm not really seeing what I and it, so I'm putting a lot of study into the game.
But you weren't seeing the fruits of the labor.
No, it's not even that. Okay, I'm studying the game. So by the time I'm starting to click it, I'm not focusing on the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting all so much focus on trying to catch up on this offense that by the time my freshman year was over, I'm like, barely got a 2.0 GPA. Then I go into my spring ball. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing. I'm not focusing on the classroom. Yeah. So by the time my freshman year, in the books is over, you know, I had to have a real conversation. You know, I had
look, man, being a student athlete is tough. It's
crazy.
It's tough.
I had like a 1.85 GPA.
Sheesh.
By the end of my freshman year. So I had a conversation with, you know, like, hey, coach, I don't know if I'm come in. So did I play my sophomore year?
Rephrase, athlete, student. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do I play my? I can't remember if I played my. Yeah, I played some of my. I was practicing some of my sophomore year.
Okay.
Then I had that conversation. Like, look, coach, I can't go back home, yo. Like, my books.
Yeah.
Like, if you know where I come from, like, I knew one of the biggest things for me going to college was like all the black. No, all the my mentality was all the black athletes from Bun.
Yeah.
That go to college, they always come back home after their freshman year. Look, go back.
You didn't want to do that, yeah.
Go back and look at the trajectory. All the athletes before us.
Before us, yeah.
And that went to college and played football.
It was a few.
It's a lot of us.
Sure. Yeah.
But see how many came back home.
Speaking of other athletes from Bun, shout out to Tyreek Cohen. You know, he at some point he was in the league.
Yeah.
My boy Malcolm, you know Xavier.
Yeah.
Xavier's
brother. Yeah.
He just asked a question. He was like, do you think Tariq should still play again? You think he should play again, or what do you think? Because to me, it's like I don't really know. I know was it a year or so ago when he released that letter, kind of explaining
what's going on,
what was going on in his life.
So he tore his ACL, right? No. What did he tore his ACL?
I can't remember.
He got hurt.
He got hurt.
He got hurt, and he rehabbed with Kerry.
Yeah.
So then
all this stuff was going on in personal life. Remember he released that letter?
Yeah. I'm giving the background.
Go ahead.
Up to that. So I think he got hurt. He may have tore his ACL. I think he tore his ACL. He rehabbed. He trained with Kerry in Chicago. He came back. And then his brother got killed. No, his brother. Years ago, his brother was electrocuted.
Okay. Yes.
Brother was electrocuted. Okay. I think then he got hurt. And then he rehabbed. And then his other brother was killed, I believe.
I think that's correct.
Yes.
I can't remember every specific detail, but nonetheless, he was going through a lot.
He was going through a lot.
His family was going through a lot.
I think to answer that question. Oh, and he has a kid. So I think to answer your question, when somebody's going through something extremely hard like that, you know, so many, you know, I think football may be the last thing on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people come back prematurely, trying to force it when their mind isn't in it. So yeah. I if it was me, paralyzed. I'm sorry. Yeah. One of his brother was shot, and the other was paralyzed.
Okay.
So if it was me, I think I would, you know, get into a mental space first. Like, you know, can I take this? Can I take this?
Do I have the bandwidth?
To play again?
Yeah.
To really put my all into it. Because if you're on that field.
Because he had just signed a contract, if I'm not mistaken, before everything.
Yeah, like, he got a big contract.
Yep. Then he got hurt.
Yep.
Right.
So what'd you say, Q?
No, I didn't say anything.
But
I will chime in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So I think.
No.
Go ahead.
No. I said I was totally, you know, I'm with you, man. Just the bandwidth and just having been mentally ready. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, you know, nuances. And sometimes, you know, football has to come last when you have to first be in a space to play, take care of your family and make sure everything is good. You know, it's good that, you know, me personally as a fan of him and being from the hometown of Bun and, you know, rooting for a man, I hope that, you know, when the time comes or if the time comes,
I hope,
you know,
he gets the opportunity
to get back. Right. But don't rush it, man. Mm-hmm. Take your time and make sure that everything lines up before you know, make that decision.
One of the best athletes come out of Bun, for sure. We've had a number of great athletes that come out of our school. But in terms of, like, I think it's okay. I personally believe it's okay to pursue an opportunity that you may not be passionate about. because you don't know what opportunities where opportunities lead.
What do you mean?
The opportunity for me to play football at whatever school I wanted to play at, it led me to meet these people, be in this particular group of people, got my college degree. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the reason why I got all the corporate jobs or professional jobs that I've ever gotten. It's because okay. I got a degree, bro.
So you're saying it's okay to do it without being fully passionate about it?
Yeah. It's all right. Here's a great example. What's my man? The running back that played, he got inducted to the Hall of Fame not too long ago, not super recent. Curtis Martin.
Okay.
He's a prime example. I don't know if you ever saw his Hall of Fame speech, but it echoes a lot of sentiments that I'm talking about now in terms of he was really good at it. Mm-hmm. He played it at a high level, got inducted to the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. but it wasn't his. He didn't live, eat, breathe football. Like that wasn't him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? another version of that would be Ricky Williams. Have you seen interviews?
He was just great at it.
He was really good at it, yeah. But he wasn't that passionate. He really wasn't that passionate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But Ricky Williams and Curtis Martin are really good examples. Kind of slightly different vibes. Obviously, Ricky Williams, he's kind of like a he's very eccentric. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever watched any interviews?
Yeah.
Curtis Martin,
very in tune with himself.
Yeah, with himself, in terms of speech rattly, yep. And you know what I'm saying. He just came off a little bit weird. He even said this in interviews. He's like, yo, I was weird.
I just rather
smoke weed. Niggas like, what?
I had to take a trip to, what he say?
I don't even remember. He just been different. You know what I'm saying?
He said, I just had to take a trip to and I just like being high. And the NFL just wouldn't. I was like, yeah. Hop with Hop say, you have to go places and do things you necessarily don't love to get to where you want to sometimes.
Yeah. And I think
mindset elevate in a way.
Yes, I can see that. I totally
I
agree.
I can see that.
I believe.
Appreciate that insight, Hop.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Yeah, shout out to Dez, man. But I totally agree. I think a lot of times in terms of sports and entertainment, a lot of people get caught up in the money part of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, just because this thing that I do gets a lot of media attention and there's a lot of money involved, therefore, somehow you fix it in your mind that I have to be extra passionate.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Everybody's not a LeBron. Everybody's not, you know what I'm saying?
They're just good at what they do,
and they happen to be taking advantage of this opportunity.
So do you feel like somebody that's more passionate about something than you are, but may not be as good, do you think they lose out on that opportunity? That not saying that they're not good. Not saying
at the end of the day, the best people are going to play. Regardless of how you personally feel about your,
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I know. I agree. I hear you. All I'm saying is, if I'm the head coach, I don't care how passionate. If you score touchdowns and you're better than him, I don't care how passionate you are about it. You know, at the end of the day, in terms of like the NFL, I think that's a separate thing because you really gotta love it to like, you know what I'm saying, to play at a high level. Regardless if it's like a super passion for you or not.
Yeah.
Like to me, I love football. Don't get it twisted. Just because you're not passionate about it, don't mean you don't love it.
Yeah,
I think there's a big difference between being passionate about something and loving it and enjoying it for what it is.
So I'm a scenario wise. I'm gonna give you a scenario. Let's say you're not as passionate as. Let's say I'm passionate about it.
Yeah,
I'm passionate where I'm now studying it. I know X, Y, and Z, but you're really good.
Yeah.
You don't have to study it like I do because you don't have the passion that I do. Let's say I'm a little bit less talented than you, but I'm still good.
Yeah.
I'm still good. But my passion allows me to see and study the game where mm-hmm. I know exactly what's coming next. Let's say I know the player they're going to run because my passion allows me to see that.
Listen.
But you're now on the – but your talent and your mm-hmm. love for the game right. – not saying you don't love it.
Yeah.
Your love for the game allows you to be a better athlete than me, but you don't see what I see.
Right.
Do you feel like that athlete that's passionate about it, that's still good, should be ahead of the person that's
no.
a little less passionate, but is still
– I think for somebody who's as passionate as you're describing,
yeah,
you look at all these monumental figures and names.
Yeah.
In sports history, yeah. John Madden's, the Coach K's, these guys were not the best athletes and the best players, but they were passionate. So guys like them who are extra passionate, they're going to find a way to be in that, to reside in that space, regardless if they're playing or not.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 I thought that was a good, comeback. Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I think those guys, the guys that you're talking about, they're going to find a way to reside in that space.
They're
going
to find a way for that passion to be exemplified in some type of manner.
Yeah. They may not be the best. Now, sometimes you have a LeBron who's extra passionate and the most talented and the smartest. He's a unicorn in terms of sports, right? You got guys like him, and then you got the average guy. You got guys who are extra passionate but not as talented. You got the talented guys who don't take it that seriously. It's a whole spectrum.
Passion, you know what I'm saying? Dad said passion gets you more opportunity because it shows to others that you want it.
That's fair. I think it depends on the context, but I agree to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because I feel like talent supersedes passion in most cases. Talent. No, I'll take that back.
I was about to say, bro.
No, what are you talking about?
I think it depends on the situation. Because at the end of the day, like I said, Ricky Williams was a supremely talented athlete.
But he wasn't passionate.
He wasn't that palatable.
I like that. I like that you put that up.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
Because you got to give concrete examples for him. Because I think everybody's been sold this idea of, you know, what you do for a living, this is what you have to be passionate. I was like, nah, bro, sometimes you just want to get a paycheck so you can. I said this in the previous episode. Sometimes you just need money to fund your passion.
Yeah.
That you may not be that good at. You just like doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Smoking weed in his case.
Yeah. Hey, hey, I just want to get this new contract so I can get some new, this new strain.
Man. Hey, did you watch some of his interviews?
I've seen a few of them over the years. He's different.
How he said they had him on a drug test. Like,
yeah.
What was it? A weekly drug test. Yep. And then how he was using, fake piss?
I gotta go back and look. Yeah, Freddie said both equals great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being passionate about something and being the most talented, again, i.e. a LeBron, a MJ, these are guys who are going to be the guys, not the average player. You know what I'm saying? When you got that, both of those sides,
yeah,
that's a rare combination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Kobe's, you know what I'm saying? Like, extra passionate, very diligent in studying your craft, and you got the most talent.
Yeah.
Those guys, you can't compete with those guys. They, you know. Their space is always going to be cemented because that's what they
bring to the table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
Malcolm
Pop said Eli Manning wasn't as talented as his brother, but he definitely had as much. Now I will say this. Somebody like Eli Manning, or you look at it now, like I think it's their nephew who's getting all this hype coming out.
Yeah.
Now he's probably pretty good. But
I haven't seen a full game, but I've seen some of his highlights.
My point is, there's probably plenty of other guys who are just talented. They don't get as much hype. Why? First glance, why?
They're not Eli Manning's nephew.
Exactly. So I think Eli is a bad example only because he was Peyton Manning's little brother. He was Archie. He was what's their dad's name? Archie Manning.
Yeah, Archie.
Archie Manning. They were Archie Manning's son. The name.
But Eli was tough though.
No. I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm not taking anything away from Eli. What I'm saying is the name got people's ears up. Like, who's this? This is Eli's little brother. I mean, this is Peyton's little brother. All right, bet. I'm gonna give him a chance. And I think part of being in that position when you're in a long line of people who have contributed to this sport, you kind of make yourself, or you work so hard to fulfill that reputation. So wait. Go ahead. Question.
So you saying Eli was only put in that position because of Peyton?
No.
So what are you saying?
What I'm saying is the combination of, I think he's a bad example only because when you have somebody like an Eli Manning, whose his name preceded him before he ever stepped on the field. That's what I'm saying. Now, when he got on the field, okay, all right, bet. He's the real deal. We got it. All right. But at the same time, he got his foot initially got in the door. And this is, what do you mean? Come on now. You can't tell me if your name precedes you, that's a leg, you have a leg up on anybody. I don't care how.
Michael Jordan's brothers, sons.
Bro. They suck.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
No, my point is, again, my point
you
is.
You got to show your.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, before anybody like an Eli Manning or, you know what I'm saying, Michael Jordan's son, well, I forgot their names.
That's the point I'm making. But, we don't even know who
but,
they are.
But if your name precedes you, then you already have a leg up. Now, your
Eli, when you, when Eli you, wasn't. Eli was pretty. Eli was decent. He did, Fred said he sucked. Hop said he wasn't that good.
But at the end of the day,
Eli Manning was.
Go ahead.
Eli Manning was decent.
I'm not saying he wasn't decent, bro.
I'm arguing with him.
I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, somebody like an Eli, your name precedes you before you walk in the room.
Okay.
Before you even stepped on the high school field, bro.
Okay. All right.
When you got on the field, all right, bet he's good enough. Is he as good as he was hyped? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not even having that argument. Yeah, what
he's
I'm saying
not
is
as good as brothers. His brother is phenomenal.
Yeah. I think I would if I had to choose between the Manning brothers, I'm going Peyton all day. You know what I'm saying?
But their nephew?
I don't know. He's getting hyped.
His nephew, I've only seen highlights.
We'll see. The machine that is the media and football and
they're only gonna show you the highlights.
They hype. When you talk about hyping up white quarterbacks, that's a whole other conversation.
Good.
We've seen so many horrible quarterbacks come out of. Remember that span of early 2000s USC quarterbacks is just, they were getting drafted first round every year.
Yeah.
USC.
Yeah.
Again, it's not so much the name on the back of the jersey, but if you were a USC quarterback, you were getting drafted. My point is, that's my point. You see what I'm talking about? When your name precedes you, when you are tied to a certain name, a brand, you got a little leg up on other people on other competition, regardless of how good you are. In some cases, again, it's like a lot of times it's the combination of both talent versus who you're affiliated with.
Yeah,
but
Jackson State. What are our thoughts?
Jackson State
over there. That's a good question, Freak.
I don't have any negative thoughts. I mean, I think everything that's happened has been positive.
Let's take it from the top.
Go ahead,
Jackson State. For a lot of people that don't know, the GOAT himself, Deion Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame cornerback, mm-hmm. Is now the head coach of Jackson State, which is the HBCU. He's been there 2 years now, and they've been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning.
Are they undefeated this year?
Yes. I do think they're undefeated.
Yeah, I think they are too.
They've been, what Deion Sanders is doing over there in that program is phenomenal. With a fraction, we got to put this
of the budget.
A fraction of the budget, mm-hmm. that Clemson, yeah. that Alabama, yeah. that UNC,
yeah.
gets.
Yeah.
They're 5-0 right now. So,
what
he's doing over there is phenomenal. The way he's changing these,
he's changing the culture. He's changing not only the perception.
Not only the perception,
uh-huh.
he's changing the lives of these black individuals. That's what I want to put out
especially
there first.
Especially with the NIL deals now.
Especially with those deals.
Yeah.
So I want to put that out there. He's changing the lives of these black individuals that are coming into his program. They're buying into Deion Sanders. They're buying into him.
Him as a coach and the brand. Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Secondly, what he's doing to the culture.
Yeah.
What he's doing to the culture and the HBCU football programs, what he's doing to these other, they're having a frenzy over there. Alabama is mad with him because he took some of their, it wasn't Alabama.
It was Nick Saban.
Yeah,
he made some comments. He alluded to like them kind of
paying bending rules, paying people.
Y'all, they ain't never paid nobody.
He took the number one receiver that was supposed to go to Alabama. He's now at Jackson State.
Facts.
I love what he's doing.
Me too.
We're talking about the NIL deal.
Just so y'all know, it levels the field.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It is now leveling the field. That the NIL deals also,
mm-hmm.
the transfer portal is now leveling the field for people and institutions that like Jackson State.
Yeah.
That these players can still get paid. And they can also choose where they want to be.
Yeah.
And people like Nick Saban, colleges mm-hmm. like UNC, colleges like Clemson, USC,
yeah.
they don't like the aspect that now smaller schools like Jackson State are now in the same running with these other organizations mm-hmm. like them. They don't like that.
I said it in the beginning of the college football season where we're going to start. Now, historically, you will always see an upset. That's part of sports, right? But I feel like this year was the first year that I've noticed where it's not so much upsets, but it's like you see these schools, that the smaller schools, they get paid millions of dollars to play these big schools. Like, they'll get this check to come over here and play us, right?
Right.
And, bro, these schools are, on average, you see so many of these smaller schools just hanging with the average division one.
Appalachian State.
Bro, App State is one of them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And they have a history of upsetting,
yeah.
you know, big schools in, you know, the Michigans and of the world and other big name schools. But on average, I mean, I think was it Marshall that beat Notre Dame this year?
Yes.
It was Marshall. It was a few other. I can't think of now, but I remember every time.
And they got beat. Notre Dame got beat kind of bad too.
Bro, it was bad.
Yeah,
I was
they
like,
got beat. They got now.
And now we know Marshall is a Division I institution, but they're not Power Five.
Yeah.
So just
to touch back on Jackson State, man. I love it. I absolutely love what Deion Sanders is doing.
I wish because when we were coming out, of high school, and in terms of I didn't know much about HBCUs, bro.
Yeah, I did.
The only reason I knew about HBCUs is because my brother, Gerard, went to Hampton.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, in terms of playing sports, the only thing you think of when you think of HBCU, you think of the band.
Yeah.
You know, but the athletic piece of it, you never thought of it. And I think that's what Deion is changing in terms of the national perception of HBCUs, where they're more than just, like, you know, dancers, and which obviously that's a huge part of the culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
he's changing the culture.
He's like, yo, okay.
Mrs. Heath, what's up?
Y'all can come to watch football too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
I definitely support what he's doing over there, man.
Yeah.
I'm loving it, man. I love the fact that he's just giving these kids opportunity.
Yeah.
And even last week when he played,
whose homecoming was it?
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he had a little spat with the head coach.
I support Deion with that.
No, facts.
The way he responded to him, and then how he,
because he had basically said, "Oh, he ain't swag.
He ain't
not
swag.
I respect what he doing, but you ain't swag. Yeah. Like, bro, I'm doing a lot, and regardless of how you feel about me," and he was like, "Yo, I'm a whole lot of things that a lot of people would like to be.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And I know who I am, and I know what I'm doing, and I know what my intentions are.
If I ain't swag, who is?
Right, facts. You're like, bro." That's the first sold out crowd they done had that whole season.
So I'm bringing you money,
right? Why are you
mad at me?
Exactly,
because we beat you and your homecoming.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah,
don't. Hey, Deion said, talk to me nice, man.
Yeah,
talk to me nice, man.
Yeah.
So,
and I think he let him down easy too.
Yeah,
because he could have said a lot of things.
Yeah,
but it's like, hey, bro, I'm not trying to. He's not trying to come in as if he's like some holier than thou person. He's like, no, bro, I'm Coach Prime. And you would, that's who I am. I'm not Deion Sanders. I'm not Prime Time. I'm Coach Prime.
Yeah.
And I know what my intentions are. Again, attention versus impact. He knows his impact, and he knows his intentions are in the right place too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I think when you have somebody like Deion Sanders, I think you need somebody like a Deion Sanders. And then you see other guys follow him. You see Eddie George, he started.
Yep. I like that.
He's at HBCU now. So I think it's gonna be a big change in the next 5 to 10 years.
Where yes, sir.
We're gonna start seeing HBCU games on prime time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No pun intended.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I caught that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah,
it's,
man.
It's all love, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think this has been a
Can they beat a Power Five school?
Yes.
Yes.
If Marshall can beat Notre Dame, then Jackson State can beat a Power Five school.
I think next year.
Now, are they in the top tier of Power Five? I mean, no. I wouldn't say. Maybe in the next year or two.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Next year.
Because Deion was like, "Yo, we can't play Element right
yeah,
now."
Yeah.
Because the biggest difference.
Give me a couple years.
Yeah. He said, "I can get the guys on the outside, but the biggest difference is getting these big niggas in the middle on the line."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's really the biggest difference.
He needs.
If you can control the line of scrimmage, that's in any, no matter who you playing. If you control that line of scrimmage, you have the huge advantage.
Open up a whole lot
of being competitive.
Things.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, if his son you know stays next year,
I think in cases like this, he's more likely to stay. One, because he already getting money from NIL.
Yeah.
He's signing all these endorsements.
Yeah.
He signed with Tom Brady brand, I'm pretty sure.
He did?
Yeah. I'm not mistaken. I can't remember the name of the brand, but it's like I don't know if it's an athleisure or like sports clothing brand.
Okay.
I can't remember the name. I got to look
that's
it
tough.
Up.
That's tough. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He was like, and Tom Brady endorsed him and everything. He's like, yo, he's one of the best. He's one of the most influential college players ever. Mm-hmm. Shador Sanders, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he already got an endorsement from the you know, the GOAT.
That's tough.
You know, so. Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's a fire conversation.
This is dope, bro.
Hey, man,
we got to do this again.
We're going to definitely go live again, man. You know, thank everybody that joined in and commented, man.
Yeah.
That, You got anything else for the people, bro?
I'm good, bro. Yeah. I think this is the first time that we did this. I think it turned out the way we intended it.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate the feedback from all the people that chimed in, that commented, that we brought in via video. I think we got to do this again, bro.
Yeah, that's fire. Facts. Yeah, take a drink, bro.
Yeah, I need a refill. I need a refill. Refill.
Hit me up, bro. Yes, sir. Hey man, y'all take a drink out. Hey, y'all take a drink out there, man.
Yes, sir.
First time going live, man.
Hey, you know, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir.
For all the content and what you're putting out, bro. Just glad to be a part of it, man. Glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think it's gonna get bigger and bigger.
Yes,
for
sir.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
So yeah. Thanks, Auntie. I appreciate y'all.
Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all.
Well, look, I'm gonna get a shout out to all my aunties, bro. One thing about my aunties, bro, they gonna support, bro.
I love it, man.
They gonna support.
I love it.
Love y'all, man. I love my family. Love so appreciate y'all. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see y'all next time. Mm-hmm. We out.